The Lord be with you. A reading from the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were reborn not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When I was driving over here, I just happened to have the 70s on in my car on the radio. And the guy said, "Do you remember back in the 70s, for you that were around then, and most of you were, the fake fireplaces, the cardboard fireplaces? We had one in our house, a fake fireplace. Do you remember that? And the wheel behind it, the red thing, was with the was it plastic or aluminum that went around? Yeah, yeah. I think my sister has it now." She has a real fireplace at her house now. But anyways, remember that. You know, Jesus is the reason for the season. In a sense, it's true to say that, that Jesus is the reason for the season. But it may not be true in the way that we typically are accustomed to thinking of it as true. Because most people express such reminders either literally or on a bumper sticker, they tend to, I think, reinforce an era that stands at the end, the other end of the continuum from the over-commercialized idol of shopping holiday that Christmas has become. Because such Jesus is the reason for the season people, they tend to focus on the birth of a little boy, the celebration of a particular person, the coming of Emmanuel, which of course is a good thing. But the message sometimes usually stops there. It's nice to come and adore the baby Jesus, but please don't let him grow up and challenge us, or challenge our leaders. The birth of Jesus may be the occasion for our celebration, But the love of God is really the reason for the season. What we celebrate today, my brothers and sisters, is not just a birthday, nor some kind of special day for little baby Jesus, but nearly the inexplicable, the almost incomprehensible love of God. Meditate upon that when you have a chance. What we celebrate today, what remains the truest reason for the season, is that God desires to be in relationship with us. And that this God planned from all eternity to forego divinity and to become one with us, one like us in all things, totally human. That's why I don't like Almighty God. I hardly ever say that. I always say the most vulnerable God. I mean, God is a vulnerable God. So in order to understand what it means in practical terms, sense, I invite you to imagine sitting in front of your computer or your iPad like me, and you've logged into your email account or your Facebook page or your eHarmony profile or your Twitter, whatever. I don't have hardly any of those only emailed. But anyways, so you logged into your email account, and anyways, and through one or maybe all of these media sites, you are receiving messages, communications, missives of some sort from somebody whom you want to love or you love. And you got to know a lot about this person, about this person's likes and dislikes, their goals, their priorities, their vision for the future, what this person may even think of you, and so on. But you don't get it all. There's still something missing. Perhaps you and this person both recognize that something still doesn't feel right. And because you want the other to reveal him or herself to you, and vice versa, you talk on the phone now, or through video chat. And your picture of this person, of your future beloved, becomes clearer. Maybe an image, their face, something that's more personal begins to be seen. But that's still not enough. So eventually, you or the other person says, "Hey, I want to meet you in person. I'll come to you. Hey, let's meet at Starbucks. Or better yet, at Dunkin' Donuts." And for the first time, what had been a true and partial encounter or experience that you have with this person becomes an in-the-flesh meeting. And so many things that couldn't be communicated in earlier ways can now be disclosed and received in an overt and implicit way. Now you can really start to know the other. And if you let them, they can get to know you as well. So in the end, this shift in the relationship illustrates the difference between knowing about a person or someone and getting to really knowing someone. My brothers and sisters, this shift in the relationship is exactly what Christmas is all about. Think about it. The author to the letter to the Hebrews that we heard in the second reading, and the prologue of the Gospel of John, which was read, both make this point. we hear that, quote, long ago God spoke to our ancestors in varied and partial ways. That's how the letter to the Hebrews starts. It's not that other people hadn't known God over the centuries. It's just that they knew God incompletely. Just as one only knows about someone from a social media, from email or phone calls today. Quote, no one has ever seen God, we hear from John's gospel today, but now God has come to meet us directly in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. God has taken the relationship to the next level and has drawn near to us. And John's gospel tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The joy of this season, as well as its reason, is found in the recognition that God so loved creation that God became part of it, became one with it. And communicating through angels, through scripture, through burning bushes and prophets, that no longer sufficed. In order to be fully in relationship with us, God had to become one of us. And the first reading from Isaiah calls all people to sing for joy and to celebrate God's action. And indeed, we have cause for rejoicing. What was unclear has become and made visible. And the mystery of what God is like, what God loves, what is important to God, is all revealed to us in the life, in the actions, and in the teachings and sayings of Jesus. He models for us what we're called to be as humans. But that's not all. We believe that Jesus the Christ is both fully God and fully human. So if Jesus reveals to us who God is, he also reveals to us who we are, or rather, who we are called to be. And yet, do we celebrate that today? Do we celebrate our birth from God? Do we celebrate our origins are also divine? No one? See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. This is the reason why I am so hesitant to talk simply about Jesus as the reason for the season. There is a way in which such a phrase can allow us to wiggle out of our responsibility to take seriously the meaning of God becoming incarnate, taking flesh. We might, with or without realization, prefer to imagine Christmas as a little boy's birthday party, more than humanity's meeting up with God for the first time in person. And this meeting up with God should challenge us to consider the ways in which we are or are not being fully human, just as much as we get to see who God is in God's fullness. And so, my brothers and sisters, perhaps the greatest gift that you can give this Christmas is to become more human, to become fully human, and therefore divine, by following more closely in the footsteps of Jesus the Christ. My brothers and sisters, it's time for all of us to reveal who God is. So Love intentionally, love extravagantly, love unconditionally. Because this broken world in which we live waits in darkness for the light that is you.